2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete and a touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday, a presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports. Left wing for three. He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans, for Cougar fans. Brought to you by Any Hour Services Electrical Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon, Cougar Nation, and welcome into Cougar Sports Saturday. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. A historic show on tap for you today. The Big 12 Conference is up to 16 teams. BYU is back in a league with the University of Utah. We will unpack all of that over the next 3 hours. It's going to be a loaded show with a lot of hot takes, Matt. It's going to be a good one.
These are the kind of shows where you wish we could go back to the early days of Cougar Sports Saturday and ride this thing till 6 p.m., baby, because we probably could do it with how much stuff there's to talk about. And, by the way, fall camp is underway. We were there twice in the week. We got interviews with coaches, Coach Daryl Funk, the offensive line, Coach Steve Clark, the tight ends. We'll get to football, actual football being played momentarily, Mitch, but of course, we have to start things off with the seismic activity in college football that happened last night.
The Leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the Leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yesterday, in my opinion, and I don't think it's all that hot, Mitch, was the wildest day in the history of college football. On Thursday night, we went to bed thinking, okay, Arizona's coming for sure, and we'll see what happens. We wake up yesterday morning, and for about an hour, it felt like, wow, they're going to keep this thing together. They're going to do it. Oregon and Washington are going to stay. They're going to sign a grant of rights. They'll figure out the TV deal. They'll add how many teams we don't know. And then out of nowhere, seemingly, Oregon and Washington are like, actually, the Big Ten's calling, and we're going. And then there's tweets and there's pictures of Oregon chair of the board on a golf course approving the move. Like, it was madness. Oregon and Washington takes a reduced share to go to the Big Ten. And then that left Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, Washington State. What do they do? Quickly, the three of the four corner schools that didn't have a home applied for membership. Arizona had already applied, but then Arizona State and Utah applied for membership in the Big 12. There was a call last night amongst Big 12 presidents and chancellors to admit them in. They unanimously let them in. It became official in the early evening, and there you go. The Big 12 is up to 16 teams. There's teams in the Pac-12 that are left out for dead, and it really was the craziest day I can ever remember in college football.
It was a historic day, and Commissioner Brett Yormark, his statement, quote, "We are thrilled to welcome Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah to the Big 12. The conference is gaining three premier institutions, both academically and athletically, and the entire Big 12 looks forward to working alongside their presidents, athletic directors, student athletes, and administrators, end quote. Yeah, this is a massive move in conference realignment, in college athletics. We are moving to an era where you're probably talking about, at most, four major conferences. It's probably going to be more along the lines of two, maybe three. But I think the Big 12 Conference has strengthened themselves significantly with this move. And to think over the last 23 months from the moment that BYU got invited to the Big 12, that they would raid the Pac-12 and put the Pac-12, a league more than 100 years old, on its knees and leave them for dead, it's pretty shocking.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I think it leaves a lot of people thinking that college sports as we know it is done. I look at it the polar opposite way, because BYU has been so hardened by all of these realignment moves for so long, and they've been left at the altar before, and BYU's got a seat at the table where they're going to be playing in a great league and great matchups. It's a historic time, and I think, honestly, you know, I know it was tough, the thought of Utah rejoining BYU in a league, because I know for a fact Cougar Nation wanted BYU to be able to go to a power league and do their own thing and say, you know, Utah, you got your thing,
yep,
we've got our thing, and that's okay. But now that it's back, it does feel kind of cool to think that BYU in Utah is going to mean something once again.
That's the silver lining of the whole thing, is that college football, and this state in particular, has reignited a great rivalry. This will become one of the best rivalries on the West Coast, if you can even say we're on the West Coast. But in college football terms, we're on the West Coast. That BYU-Utah game is going to be massive. But I was rooting against that game being reunited.
Sure.
I won't deny it. I won't lie to you guys. I did not want Utah in the Big 12. You know, I just feel like, and who knows, we'll see what happens, but something to be learned from this, Mitch, is you cannot be loyal to your conference. You cannot be loyal to anything but yourself. And I hope BYU remembers that, because
yeah,
these teams coming in, they're not coming in truly wanting to build up the Big 12. They came in out of desperation.
I think ASU and Utah, they fall under that.
For sure.
Arizona, I think, wants to be in this thing. I think they're excited.
Maybe.
They want their basketball to go to new heights, and they were being overshadowed by bigger brands in other parts of the country. I think Arizona's excited, but ASU and Utah
definitely
did not
want to come. Yeah. There was plenty of reporting throughout the week that they were praying and doing everything in their power,
sure,
to keep it together. And ultimately, when Oregon and Washington left, they had no choice and they came. And that's fine. It certainly strengthens the Big 12. There's no denying that. The Big 12 is well positioned to maybe end up the third best conference in college football, and that's fantastic for BYU. But let's be careful. It can't all be about the Big 12 long term. I'm not saying short. I mean, short term, be a great partner, all that,
yeah,
stuff. But if there's opportunities to elevate down the road, other schools are going to be doing that, because the original new Big 12 that lived for months, that group, I think, was united. I think that group was loyal. That group had a strong future. Now, I don't think that can be said. And that doesn't mean it's not strong. It doesn't mean it's not great. All those things are true. It's just there's teams in the league now that do aspire to go one more step up. And so you've got to be aware of that. And I hope BYU remembers that into the future, that, hey, we got to put ourselves first in all cases, because that's what it's become if you're not in the Big Ten and the SEC. That this can happen down the road to other teams. You got to protect that. But as of today, BYU is in the best position they've ever been in. They're in a very healthy and strong league in the short term. We'll see in the next TV deal. But right, yeah, now, great football ahead, and it's very exciting.
I can't wait for all of it, but I think you make some great points, because this Big 12 with the 12 members, the eight legacy members, and the four newcomers with BYU, UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati, they were all in lockstep, and it's one of the reasons why Brett Yormark has made so many deals. You're now bringing in institutions that were part of a league that collapsed a 100-year-old league. So their leadership and decision-making, not great.
Yep.
So if I'm Brett Yormark, you're telling these schools, get in line.
Totally.
We threw you a lifeline. get in line.
More than a lifeline, because they're getting a full revenue share.
I think Colorado's excited to be a part of this, too.
Yes.
I think Colorado, because they got
they've
out
got
ahead.
The history.
And look at Colorado. Like, they were getting told, you know, and this is what's so amazing to me. And even Governor Spencer Cox tweeted this. How many inaccurate reports there were on the Big 12 side of things. There was reports the day after Colorado left, oh, we're going to level up. We're going to get San Diego State and be better as a league. Folks, the Pac-12 has been dead since the moment USC and UCLA left. And this whole year that there's been all this reporting about the four corner schools and how people in the Pac-12 footprint and even in this market were scoffing at that idea that anyone from the Pac-12 would leave for the Big 12. It's just, it's kind of sad. And it's honestly for our industry and media, it's a bad look because so many people were inaccurate. And also, I find it amusing, too. So many people are saying this is a dark day for college sports. You know what? What do you want to go back to a world where that same media that completely botched this story were voting for your national champion? I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to computers running a national champion. We're going to a world where the epicenter of college football is a 12-team playoffs. Now, how are the bids going to be determined? With this shakeup with the Pac-12, that's clearly going to be reevaluated. Yep. It was expected to be six automatic conference champion bids. I'm sure it's going to be
and
maybe
five,
four. And
guess who has a voice on the next wave? George Kliavkov. Can you believe that?
but like, we're romanticizing regional nature. I get it. But I like the new iteration of the sport. Because for so many years, BYU fans have been told, oh, yeah, you got a national championship. Fake championship.
Yep.
Heisman, yeah, you played a gimmick offense. You played nobody. Outland Trophies, eighth winningest program over the last 50 years. Eh, you played nobody. It's like you got told Oregon State's better than you. And look, I feel bad for Oregon State and Washington State getting left out in the cold. But you know what? Maybe they're now getting their reality of what they really are.
Yep.
If they are so needed in college football, guess what they could do? The path that BYU took of independence. No one does that. BYU took the road that no one travels, went independent, put their money where their mouth was, and actually lined up a TV deal on their own. That's real college football power.
Yep.
And when people knock the BYU brand, I tell you, they put their own money on the line and their brand and said, we're going to backfill with whack teams and go play in the WCC. And guess what? BYU's brand is as healthy as it's ever been. It's better off, and there's better days ahead. And I like that, you know, these TV executives – I get it. It's weird to think they're kind of controlling college football, but I kind of like that they're saying, you know what? We don't care, Stanford, that you got a $50 billion endowment. You don't care about football. You're not part of this thing. Thank you, because the college football fans agree with you.
That is one of the big winners of this change, is that there's going to be better football games. There's going to be more games that matter, which I think is what we've always wanted. It's just, it's sad that we couldn't come to this destination of more meaningful football games while destroying tradition and rivalries and history and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, when toe meets leather, as we like to say, we're going to be watching when BYU plays Arizona State, maybe in mid-October. We're going to be watching when Oregon is visiting Penn State or visiting Michigan State. And that's why this happened. And it's not a sad day, because it could have been prevented.
Add BYU in the 80s. Pac-10. Add BYU in the 1980s.
Add BYU in the mid-2010s when the Big Ten continually expanded. They could have been forward-thinking and grabbed BYU, maybe some Big 12 teams, maybe even San Diego State was there for the taking for so long. They could have gotten up to 14-16 and then lost some and still been fine.
2 years ago.
Yep.
The Big 12 was not going for BYU. Bob Bowlsby loved BYU, but they went first to the Pac-12 to merge. They said, no thanks.
They said no thanks so many times.
The Pac-12 was their own worst enemy.
Yes.
And their CEO group, it was silly that they called their presidents and board a CEO group. I mean, like, you had, and the thing is, for Utah fans that might be listening today, you are now in a conference where everyone cares about football at a high level. And I think Utah fans, I know it's tough for them right now, but I think they're going to enjoy the fact that you are now playing in stadiums that care. You're not. I went to Stanford last November on Thanksgiving weekend, worst college football environment I've ever been to. in my travels with this BYU football program. That was the lamest environment. I'm thinking to myself, this is a 9 p.m. Mountain Time kick. No one cares. This game means nothing.
Yep.
Why would anyone watch this? Now we're going to get...
or pay for it.
BYU Utah on Thanksgiving weekend. Sign me up. Injected in the veins. Because guess what, Matt? BYU was never going to pull the plug on Utah. I would have liked to have seen BYU maybe say to Utah what they did to BYU in 2012.
No.
Hey, we're big time in here. We're just going to go schedule this Michigan series. But you knew BYU was never going to do it. So if you're always going to play them and you want some novelty in your non-conference schedule, hey, play them in November when it matters, when there's something on the line. Because you beat them 2 years ago, and really it didn't mean squat. Yep. Utah still went to the Rose Bowl and won the Pac-12 title. How much sweeter would it be if you beat them and that takes away Utah from a New Year's Six or a playoff or a Big 12 title? That has a little more juice, a little more sizzle, and I think it's going to mean a lot more in this state to now know this is Big 12 country in the state of Utah.
We got to take a break. You can text us 57500. How do you feel about BYU and Utah being in the same conference again? Excited, disappointed? Text us, tweet us. Get in contact with us. We'll get to your texts and tweets on the other side. Back in a moment. Woo! College sports, man. It is, for the better part of, what, 15 years now, it just never sleeps.
4 weeks till kickoff, and who's even thinking about football games right now?
No one.
Let's just have TV boardroom meetings all the time and realignment. Hey, have you watched more Board of Trustees meetings in your life this week?
I still can't get over Oregon's head chairman on the golf course. Okay, he's literally making a life-changing decision that is going to affect thousands of athletes.
Yeah.
And he's just in a bunker, a bad shot into the sand. All right. Register your vote. Are we going to the Big Ten?
I love that. And the thing is, too, is, you know, there's a lot of talk about this is bad for student athletes. And you know what? I think there's some legit concerns about
extensive travel. It is for athletes that are not football players.
And I do agree with that. But here's the thing. There is the transfer portal. And if you want to go to a regional conference, go to the Mountain West. If you're a player, go to the Big Sky. Like, I know that sounds cutthroat, but like, there's other options. If you want to play in the biggest stages, it's now national. BYU is going to face that. You know, and I think Colorado made a good point. Their AD, and I never thought of it until they announced their move to the Big 12. You know, a lot of the issues when you go out to the West Coast to play a late game, say like that Stanford game last year for BYU, you're getting home around 3 a.m. You go play a, you know, 7 p.m. game out at UCF, that's 5 p.m. Mountain. You're going to get home around 11 o'clock at night. I mean, it's just... you're not going to have these extreme arrival times by not going out to the far left coast as much. And I just think that it's going to work out okay. I think so many people get caught up in these echo chambers on social media and think, oh, this is just terrible. But I'm telling you, college football now is centered around a chase for the 12-team playoff. I think that's my next question, is to kind of wonder what's next in that regard. How does the playoff get figured out again, because it's going to be restructured with the Pac-12 going down. I am curious to see what happens with those remaining four Pac-12 teams. You know, what happens to Oregon State, Washington State? It feels like they're destined to be in the Mountain West Conference, but maybe they figure something out. I don't know. We'll see. Text us, 57500. What are your thoughts on BYU being in a Big 12 with Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, and, of course, Colorado from a week ago? Wild times in the league that... he's kind of the new guy on the block. Brett Yormark, man, he's punching above his weight.
Big 12 open for business.
And he's not sleeping. He's crystallized the conference, Matt.
Yes, he has crystallized. They have truly been additive, Mitch. The Big 12, there are going to be two amazing sports documentaries sooner rather than later. One of them will be...
what if I told you that a conference that prided itself on research didn't research its own media rights deal and folded like a tent?
That the demise of the Pac-12 will be fascinating. And also the Big 12, like a cockroach, tried to be killed a couple times. They just found a way, and now they are thriving. The Big 12 to me is like that bug in Wreck-It Ralph. that disappeared into Candyland, and it's like, okay, it's no big deal. And then towards the end of the movie, sprouts up. It's a huge army. Like, it's amazing what the Big 12 and Brett Yormark have done to, you know, when Oklahoma and Texas left, they managed to overcome losing the Aggies of A&M, the Tigers of Mizzou, Colorado, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas. All the top teams in that conference left. And they are squarely positioned as one of the best non-top two conferences. I mean, you can make a strong case, and I'd be happy to do it myself. They're the third best team or best league in college football.
No question. And the thing is that the reason Brett Yormark is the narrative with basketball is so big, if you have the best basketball league and adding Arizona, a blue blood, makes you clearly the best basketball league. When it comes to having a seat at any table in college athletics and men's basketball tournament means a lot. You have to have a seat because you are the best basketball league in the country. And I think that's a great approach that he has. And look, the next Gen Z fans, they like basketball. They like that sport. And he wants to be younger, hipper, cooler. This league, 16 teams from coast to coast, a national league. This is a very cool Gen Z new look league that's going to attract, I think, a younger audience. And you kind of bring that hip-hop component that he likes, Brett Yormark. I just think there's great branding. And look, he told us at Media Day, we've always been greater than 12. From Southwest to the Big 8, we've always been greater than 12. And that's what they are. They're greater than 12 now. They're going to have 16 teams starting on August 2nd, 2024.
I have no idea if this is going to come to pass or not, but I feel like the Big 12 name is coming to an end.
Yeah, it's got to end. But at the same time,
there's a rebrand coming next year. The king of branding, Brett Yormark.
He's got to have his own.
12's out, right?
Has to be. I mean, he's going to be jotting down things on that whiteboard. I'd love to see that whiteboard today.
Oh, man. Let's do this, Mitch. We got to take a break. News, traffic, and weather coming your way. One thing is certain, I think, in college football right now. This is not the end. I think there is more to come. What is that going to be? What would you like it to be? Let's simmer on that. Text us 57500. Your thoughts on BYU and Utah back together. Thoughts on just the weekend as a whole. 57500. And then we'll talk about the future of college football. What we want it to be on the other side.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete. Touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Brought to you by Any Hour Services Electrical Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hope you're having a fantastic Saturday afternoon. KSL News Time, 12:35 p.m. Cougar Sports Saturday, brought to you by Any Hour Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air. The big news of the weekend, of course, Arizona State and Utah joining the Big 12. BYU president. New BYU president as of May 1st of this year, Shane Reese. He issued a statement, quote, "We are excited to now welcome Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah to the Big 12, in addition to Colorado. Having 16 member institutions will be a great strength to the conference moving forward," end quote. Do you think it's going to be a great strength to this conference moving forward, Matt?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you can't deny that Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah, they've had some level of success. Utah, especially in the past 5 years, they've been a really solid football program. You add good athletic departments, it certainly helps. There's no doubt about it. The only concern would be, does adding them, do you lose a little bit of that lockstep unity that you had before? I think undoubtedly, yes, you will, because they'll have different opinions, things that were formed from decades of being in the Pac-12. That's no denying it.
I think, too, if I'm BYU, when it comes to the football side, and maybe all the sports, I'm telling the Big 12, you know, hey, you got our back. Send Utah every game first to Provo in 2024. Football, men's basketball, don't care what the previous home game was in 2021. First one in the Big 12 needs to be in Provo.
I would love that.
I think Tom Holman needs to fight for that.
He needs to.
First football game in 2024. I don't care what the previous schedule said on non-conference, that it's up in Salt Lake. I think you got to fight for that. Say, first one is in Provo. We've always believed in this league. We being BYU, if you're Tom Holman. I think you got to fight for that, I think, a little bit. And I think you need to, you know, hey, we're happy Utah's in the league. But I think you just make it clear, like, hey, we always have believed in the vision of the Big 12.
I don't see that happening because something that came out last night, it hasn't sat well with me, is BYU is not going to get the full revenue rip right out of the gate, but Utah is. I just think that's total bullcrap. And maybe Commissioner Yormark thought, hey, we got to give them a full share to bring them in because they're coming from a power league. They've got nowhere to go. Like, they should not be getting a full rip of the revenue.
Yeah.
That was one thing that really did bother me.
BYU's comes in 2025.
Right. So it's they only have to wait 1 year, but still I think it's the optics. It's ridiculous that these teams, Houston, Cincinnati, UCF, like, they had to wait a long time, and they had to work so much harder than these schools did. These schools were given a lifeline. BYU and the other three schools, they had to work for it, man. UCF had to build that thing up from nothing and go to New Year's Six games, Cincinnati to the playoff, and right, just sort of like spat on your face here.
BYU had to go down to Irving, Texas, and do a big song and dance in 2016. All these teams did, and do a big presentation, and it worked out in 2021 where BYU, after the Pac-12 turned down the Big 12 teams, Bowlesby just said, hey, Tom, you're in. Wait, what? I'm in? So they play, we good?
I was thinking about this on the drive up, Mitch. Get this man a statue in the northeast corner. Without Bowlesby, today I may have quit the show. I don't think I could have done it because Brett Yormark would not have brought BYU in.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I just don't believe it. But Bowlesby got him in, and Brett Yormark's got to deal with it. In a positive way, I think BYU adds value to the conference.
And I think he understands what BYU brings.
Yeah, he's getting it now. He's talked about when he made that visit for BYU and Baylor, he was blown away at the atmosphere and all that, so that's great. But Bob Bowlesby saved BYU athletics because they would have been with Stanford and Cal and Oregon State and Washington State, and yet they're in this new, exciting Big 12, which is fantastic. But Brett Yormark, to your point, Mitch, and I thought it was a great one earlier, he's got to get these guys in line. And I thought there was a little missed opportunity there yesterday to say, you're getting the same amount of money as the other schools until 2025. You're getting in line.
I think one of the things that factored into this rush nature, I think, for the Big 12 was the report late Friday night from Ross Dillinger of Yahoo that the ACC was exploring adding 5 to 7 Pac-12 teams. And I got to imagine Brett Yormark, who researches everything, knew that and knew, I've got to act now. And
because the ACC was in
they're
the
ready room, to. Yeah. But see, the ACC was risking, if they add, they're risking having their grant of rights, which are locked in until 2036, basically torn up and reevaluated. And then that opens the door for Florida State to move to the SEC or Big Ten or wherever they go. So I think it was just a case of, we got to pounce on this moment because this Big 12 has always been on its heels, and it's been left for dead so many times. And I think it just now it strengthens it.
Yep.
You've got to get everyone on board. And now you look at the future of college football, college athletics. It appears that the Big 12 does have a pretty prominent seat. It's not SEC, Big Ten. We're not saying that here
It'll
today.
Never be.
We understand that. But it's going to be a great league. What do you see as the next wave, the next moves, the future of realignment and college athletics going forward? Because it would be naive for us to think August 4th, 2023 was the final domino. There's more to be had.
Oh, there's more to be had. I don't know if you read that article late last night from Pete Thamel. That thing was, there were so many juicy nuggets. If you want a little glimpse of what is brewing in college football, go and read that. He tackles what's going to happen to Notre Dame, what's going to happen to the other Pac-4 schools. I am entirely on board with what Chip Kelly said in that article. I think that is the future, and I think that's what's best for the sport, which is abandon the conference model. All of these power leagues, you elevate above that next level, and that's a tough pill for a Utah State, for a Wyoming. Like, I get it. But the TV networks and the school presidents have made it clear, we don't give a rip.
Well, and fans have also made it clear, too.
Yes.
They don't
tune
in.
That's a good point.
if you're so sad to lose Oregon State or lose these teams, watch them.
Yep.
Be degenerates like us and watch the late 8:45 p.m. kick. Watch them. Yep. No one wants to watch.
I know. I remember a couple years ago, speaking of being a degenerate, quick detour, but I think I was in Knoxville waiting to come home after that thrilling game, and I turn on the tube, and I think Arizona was playing at Hawaii, and Khalil Tate was making a run, and Carter Blackburn's on the call. Khalil Tate, stopped at the one!
I'm like, we were texting each other about that. It was great.
So I was watching those games. I didn't contribute to this, but I think that makes a lot of sense, and that would solve a lot of the problems. And you can even tier it. Hey, here's the new Division One. In the top tier, you get more money. Tier two, tier three, whatever. But you're all playing. You can get back to regional football in that regard. Because that's what Chip Kelly said. Hey, if we go NFL, you got the North, you got the West, you got the South, you got the North, you got the East. There's a regional component, but you're playing other teams, and that feeds into the playoff, kind of like the NFL. I think that's where we're ultimately heading. I don't think we're going to see two super conferences. I don't see how the financials work in that regard. Yeah. I don't see teams like Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida saying, yeah, we'll bring in eight more and dilute our share.
And we've heard from ESPN presidents, Fox presidents, and TV space, they want a national sport. They want a lot of options. Whoever's going to pay for this 12-team playoff, and we still don't know that yet,
yep,
they're going to want a national sport with, I think, more than 40 teams.
Totally.
I think they're going to want at least, 60. I would guess, 70,
yeah.
60 to 70. And
70 might get the Pac-4 dudes back in.
Right. I mean, and there's so many. I remember 2 years ago, Matt, we were on this show, and we interviewed Brett McMurphy, and I thought, man, I don't see a way out for BYU. I really didn't. And that was when the 12-team playoff was coming to form. And McMurphy's like, I don't see realignment happening. And then Texas and Oklahoma dropped a bomb on everyone.
Yep.
And it's been wild since. And I think a lot of this, too, with realignment, was started because of COVID. I think Texas and Oklahoma experienced a fiscal year where it was like, oh, this is what it's like to be kind of poor, where we don't make much money because of COVID.
Yep.
And they were like, uh-oh, we're now panicking because for 1 year we were just a normal school.
Yep.
And they then banded together and bolted to the SEC. But you know, COVID kind of highlighted a lot of the warts of these conferences and these schools. And big money came to factor. I think another thing, kind of building off what the future is of the sport, I wonder if we will get to a point because of the TV money that's there. And it's not as big as we think. I mean,
and it's not unlimited.
It's not. And that's a great point. But I wonder if we get to a point where players are going to get a cut.
They absolutely should.
And I think they should.
Yes.
Because they will have a big toll travel wise. And that to me is which schools are willing to play that game. And if you're not, get out and you can go to the FCS
level
or
two.
The level two,
level
whatever
two.
It's called.
Yep.
And it's more of the traditional model. But if you want to play that game where it's the biggest stage, the athletes are getting a cut of the media rights, I know that sounds wild. And that, to me, I'm like kind of blown away at that thought. But I think that's where this might be headed.
It's absolutely heading that way. And look, we just have to get on board, because what we have learned from the past 15 years is that presidents and TV networks are so greedy, they'll leave anyone behind. They'll destroy anybody. They don't care about the athletes. They don't care about rivalries. They don't care about the fan bases. They care about money. That's the only thing that they give a rip about. If that wasn't clear a while ago, it is crystal. It's been crystallized, Mitch, okay, that it's all about the dollar bill. And now we just have to say, okay, if that's the way it's going to be, the players need to get theirs. Because I feel that way in the NFL. Whenever a BYU dude gets to the league, I'm just like, just get this guy paid. That's all I want. Dennis Pitta, get your money. Taysom Hill, get that contract. Zach Wilson, get paid. Like Bushman, I am so heavily invested right now. Make the roster, get a paycheck. That's what I'm rooting for. And now we're kind of there with college football, where if this is what the networks and the schools are going to do, then we got to take care of the players at a higher level, because it is outrageous what money has done to this sport. You would have never thought in a million years the Pac-10, Pac-12, Pac-whatever would be eliminated. They have been relished to nothing because of money. That's quite frankly what it is. And the future evolution of the sport, at least from what I'd like to see, let's get this upper tier of teams separated away. They can play and talk about the matchups, man.
I know.
12 games. Who gives a rip? Because you could get into the playoff at 8-4,
yeah,
depending on how things shake out. The NFL model, that is what it has to be, because that's the way that it's going, and that's what is the most fair and sensible for the future of the sport.
Do you want to see week after week matchups against these great power conference brands, or do you want to see BYU Sam Houston? You want to see BYU Southern Utah? I mean, I know those are the outliers. There's only two of those. BYU's got a great schedule this year. But like those first 2 weeks, the only reason
in the old model, you had to do it.
The only reason people are hyped for those is because BYU is in a Big 12, inaugural Big 12 year. There, it's 2 days closer to playing a Big 12 schedule. That's our vision, maybe the future of college.
Are you on board with me then?
I'm with you. Yeah. I think we're in lockstep.
It makes the most sense, doesn't it?
And I think the thing is like, we're being rational about it. Like, look, I would love to go back to just alma mater and tradition, but you know what? I like seeing things evolve. We're experiencing a historic time where the sport for 154 years is pivoting to something new. And I think that's pretty cool as a college football fan, and we're obviously going to see a new Big 12. And let's talk about the new 16-team Big 12 as to how do they schedule? What do they do with how do you line up BYU, Utah? How do you line up the pods? Or do you do divisions? Let's talk about that next. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports.
Mitch, there's just so many things to discuss. We're getting so many texts. I don't even know where to go. Okay, here's a good question. This is from 3300. Why does the Big 12 keep letting teams in? How many are they going to keep adding?
I think they're done.
You think they're done? 16, they're done?
I do. I just, how can Fox and ESPN, and ESPN's been cutting salary left and right, how can they keep issuing out more money?
Yeah, they won't.
Unless UConn basketball and Villanova basketball is willing to take. They're making what, $6 million in the Big East? Unless they're willing to say $10 million or $8 million is a basketball only school, Gonzaga too.
I would love that, actually.
If you're willing to do basketball only, maybe. But I think from the football side,
numbers.
I think that's done. I don't think you go beyond 16 at this point. There's no Washington and Oregon. The Big Ten did that because I think Washington and Oregon are aligned quite well with the Big Ten. I think Washington will do a great job in the Big Ten, and I think Oregon recruits at a level nationally where they'll do great. And if you're USC, they're kind of feeling like BYU right now. USC's like, we kind of had our own thing, and now Oregon's coming along again. You know, it's like, you know, they're experiencing what BYU's doing. So to the texter's question, I think this is it, unless you see some basketball-only deal that Brett Yormark comes up with.
To Mitch and Matt, this is 5140. Having Utah and BYU in the same conference again is amazing for the fans and the television. RIP to the Pac-12 and the Ute fans that got the tats.
Best rivalry in the Big 12. Hands down, right?
Well, yes, but it's also one of the few rivalries in the Big 12, too.
But it's now the new Texas-Oklahoma rivalry in this league.
Yes, it's the premier. That will always be on Fox.
That will be now a bucket list game for Big 12 fans to go to. Oh, I want to go to BYU-Utah. Like SEC fans probably say, I want to go to the cocktail party. I want to go to the Iron Bowl. That's now the game. And that's pretty cool to think that BYU-Utah, and I think producer Nate mentioned this on Twitter, Nate Slack 5, this rivalry goes to a national stage. Before, when we were growing up watching it in Mountain West and WAC days, it was ESPN Plus on K-Jazz games, or it was the Mountain, or it was Versus. Think about Network Fox. Think about ESPN in a primetime slot. How cool is that? This is going to be an elevated rivalry. People don't know nationally the intensity of this rivalry. They will learn. They are going to get to know the nastiness, the heat. And guess what? I kind of like the competition. I think BYU should be excited. Say, you know what? We want to be the top dog in this state. We're going to own Big 12 country in this state. And Utah should do the same thing.
Yep.
And if Utah comes in with a complacent mindset, BYU needs to pounce.
Yep.
And write the narrative that they are the top dog in this state. I think it can make BYU a little bit more quick to act and a little bit more aggressive in decision-making when you know 45 miles up north, Utah has been a very good football program, and you got to go compete.
Absolutely. And look, it's going to be fun that's on the national stage, but there's much more at stake. We just got a text here, and this kind of leads me into this point, 5168. Why don't Utah try and get into the Big Ten? Oh, they tried.
Oh, yeah.
That was their number one.
I bet they would have taken, you talk about a deep discount, $8-10 million a year. I mean, they would have taken a deep discount. I think, honestly, anyone would, to get into the Big Ten, because you just have that security.
Yep.
Like, that league's not going anywhere.
And what's at stake now in this rivalry game and in this conference is it's a stage to present a case to get invited to the Big Ten or the SEC.
Sure.
That's what's at stake. And that may never come, but you've got to think that that's a possibility, and you've got to position yourself, because what we learned in this current wave of realignment, it's, you know, history and what you've done over a long period of time, that doesn't matter nearly as much as what you've done lately. No one knows that better than Utah. Utah wins the 2008 Sugar Bowl. Boom, they're in the Pac-12. Utah wins a couple of Pac-12 championship games, goes to the Rose Bowl. They're included in to the Big 12, when that could have been anybody. That could have been UConn. That could have been Wazoo, Oregon State. But Utah, because of their recent success, positioned themselves as a team that was desired because of their success.
Yeah.
That's what's on the line. Because 2031 comes, there's no guarantee it's going to stay the same. In fact, you would be dumb to assume that it would. So if you can,
well said.
If you can pounce now, win a couple Big 12 championship games, maybe get to the playoff, win a game, then the SEC could come looking, say, hey, we want to get into that fourth time zone because the Big Ten's doing. We got to keep up with the Joneses. Otherwise, we don't want to become clear number two. Maybe it's BYU, or maybe it's Utah, or maybe it's ASU or Arizona, depending on the success. So BYU has got to be thinking and prepare themselves for how do we, like they did in 15, we're presenting this case. Are we ready to present? What can you do between now and the end of this decade to present a case to the SEC? Because they're not going to the Big Ten. But to the SEC to be included in Western expansion if they decide to do that.
And that sounds radical, but again, we're in a world where the Big Ten has USC and UCLA.
And Oregon and Washington.
Anything's possible. Anything's on the table. And I like that point, because I think the old school way of thought would say, transition a few, 4 or 5 years in a league. You don't have that luxury anymore.
Nope.
You got to hit the ground running.
Yep.
This is big stakes, big money on the line. A lot of intensity with it, and you know what? I love it, and I think it's great, and I think it's going to just crank things up to a higher level, and I know for the fans, it's going to hit their pockets deep. I mean,
oh yeah,
people are seeing price increases, and I know that's tough.
That's the tip of
the
iceberg.
The stage is going to be awesome, though, and I think Cougar fans, I think BYU sports,
no one will be complaining about this in week seven in 2 years when BYU is potentially ranked and they're hosting, I don't know, the Buffaloes.
Let's take a break. On the other side, we'll get to some BYU football fall camp, but also we'll continue to talk conference realignments. Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete. Touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Brought to you by Any Hour Services Electrical Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number two is off and running. Conference realignment talk. Dominating the college sports space right now. 4 weeks till kickoff, but honestly, we were going to have a lot of fall camp talk.
And we interviewed a lot of dudes.
And we'll get to some of that, but I mean, these are historic times.
Yep.
This is the sort of stuff that I think for Cougar Nation, you know, we were talking about this on the break, and we'll talk about it here right now. I don't think there's any fan base more like hardened by realignment talk than BYU.
Yep.
BYU has seen it all when it comes to realignment. They've been left at the altar, you know.
Numerous times.
So many times. I remember, Matt, when BYU was, remember they were in talks with the Big East?
Yes,
briefly. And then there was reports that BYU and their lawyers were, quote, a piece of work. And they're not going to invite them to the Big East because the Big East then added San Diego State, TCU, all that. But so many times BYU has just been left at the altar with the bag, and they were left with the league and always told, well, you were close. You know, that the Big 12, when it got created in 1996, there was rumors that maybe BYU was going to get that last spot, and then Baylor got it because of Texas state legislation in 1996. They've always been so close yet so far. So all this realignment talk has hardened BYU fans. And BYU fans are seasoned veterans in realignment talk. And it's been amusing to me when I see so many respected media entities and reporters resort to not understand the realignment game. Like, BYU fans, they know, okay, that guy on Twitter, he's a West Virginia rando. He's been just spitting out propaganda for years. Don't trust him. That dude out in the Midwest, he's a little bit crazy. He sometimes hits, but yeah, don't trust him. Whereas some of these other outlets were running with this stuff. It's just funny to think how, well, it's not funny, but it's just amusing to me how some of these programs just thought they will never face this because they've got geography on their side. They've got the security of a power league. They've got academic prowess. They've got this. It's like, no, you always have to be proactive in all this. And it's just I'm excited for Cougar fans to get a chance to see a Big 12 that I think is just going to be super fun. And I love that the Big 12 fits BYU's DNA. And the Big 12, what I mean by that is that it's the underdog that every day is going to have to go fight for its respect. Even with this 16-team iteration, which I believe is comfortably the third-best conference in college athletics, they're still going to fight some haters. There's still going to be some narrative about media from the media types. They're going to say, oh, this league's a bunch of scrubs, bunch of XG5 rejects that got the call up. This is going to be an entertaining league, and I like just how everyone's kind of got that dog mentality a little bit to go earn their respect, and I hope these four corner schools bring that same level of intensity too, because the Pac-12 is just a little bit passive. I hope they don't bring that along to this league.
Text us 57500. Let us know your thoughts on this new Big 12 with Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado in the mix with the existing 12 schools. I like this text from a while ago. I think there's a little meat on the bone here, Mitch. 0218. As much as my pettiness would have loved to have leave Utah out after they left BYU out, being in the same conference again, and especially in a power conference, will bring this rivalry to a level it's never been at before. There is no denying that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And there is a new angle to it, which is Utah did not want to be a part of this league. The fans made fun of this league for the past 2 years. Truck stop conference. It's the worst of the Power Five. You're not the conference of champions. And now they're here. And this Big 12 fan base, I think, has put a target on Utah's back. That's a team that they do not like. BYU, somehow, some way, they're respected amongst their peers in the Big 12 right now. I think there's unity. I think there's mutual respect. That doesn't quite exist there with Utah right now. And that's going to bleed into the rivalry, and it's going to be fun because Utah, in a way, got relegated a little bit. BYU's been elevated. How does that clash on the field? How does it clash amongst the fan bases? It's going to be a lot of fun, but it's been pretty clear in the text, Mitch, that, and I certainly feel this way, happy the rivalry's back. It takes on a new level. It's going to be a lot of fun, but a lot of people didn't want Utah in. I can't deny that I wanted them in. I did not want them in. I wanted them out. I was rooting for the Pac-12 to figure it out. But now that they're here, you got to beat them. Like, it's of critical importance to beat them. And I guess at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is the silver lining is the rivalry is back. There's not going to be this big brother, little brother stuff anymore. It's everyone's on the same playing field. You're making the same money. You're in the same league. You're going to be recruiting the same dudes. I think that the challenge for Utah, BYU will benefit more on the recruiting trail than Utah does because BYU can sell something they've never been selling. We've been seeing it, right? So it's going to be a lot of fun to see that back in a meaningful way.
On Twitter, at KSL Sports, we asked a question, BYU fans, what feeling best describes your emotions today after Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah were accepted into the Big 12. Hundreds of votes coming in. And the leader right now, 42% of the vote, mixed feelings. Following that, 40% excited, 9% for angry, 7% for disappointed. I think it is a mixed feelings deal because Utah and BYU, I just think that the fan bases on social media, you know, that's one thing. But I think there's been examples in from the administration side where Utah wanted BYU to fail.
Yep.
When they became an independent and ending the rivalry on football two different times, both with two different ADs, Chris Hill, Mark Harlan, basketball going away over a safety issue, alleged. Nick Emery swinging. But let me tell you, though, Matt, is there any matchup that you just remember every detail? I mean, those BYU-Utah games, I'll tell you, you remember the whole day. You remember everything about that day because they just sit with you so long. And it's cool to think that those games are going to mean something. It's cool to think that BYU and Utah are not going to play on a random Wednesday night in December up against a Jazz game where, I mean, there was one year that BYU and Utah played up at the Huntsman Center. I think it was the first year with Mark Pope. Jazz and Lakers are down the street, and you go, Jazz and Lakers got all the juice in this market.
Yep.
No one cares about this BYU-Utah game. And it's BYU-Utah. BYU and Utah and hoops used to mean so much. It used to be bigger than football back in the 70s and 80s. And to think you're going to get that two times a year, guaranteed, and it's going to mean something. It's not going to be, well, who cares? Like, it's just a college basketball game in December. I'm excited for that. I'm excited that even in sports like baseball, oh, it's no longer just a Tuesday night game where you're playing a weird lineup because you're getting ready for the weekend, your conference series. All these games are going to mean something again because they always scheduled each other, yet there was always the element of, well, it doesn't really matter that much. I got to go win my league. That's over. And I just like that now it does mean something. Sure, I think BYU fans would have loved the laughs had Utah been relegated to the Mountain West with Utah State, but that was never going to happen. Utah's got a good football brand, and it's been elevated over the last 20 years, and I know that's not something that BYU fans want to hear, but they've done good on the field. And do they have the national following and the fan base and the intense fan base like BYU? Absolutely not. BYU's content brings in their fans plus the haters of their fans. I mean, BYU, we still get traction on KSLSports.com from like Wyoming, because I'm sure Wyoming fans hate BYU with a passion still. Like, it's just crazy. BYU has so many haters, and I'm sure a lot of these four corner schools hate BYU. There was never I've been to so many BYU road games. One of the nastiest venues I've ever been to in terms of fan treatment was 2006 Arizona. You were there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I hope Arizona is a little more kind now after experiencing the hardships of Pac-12 play and whatnot. It seemed like it was okay in 2021 in Vegas.
But that was neutral.
Yeah, it was more pro-BYU.
Yep.
So I'm curious to see what happens when BYU goes to Tempe, when they go to Tucson, when they go to Salt Lake, because the last three times they've went to ex-Pac-12 venues, it's ended with a slur at Mormons, or it's ended with a band saying something about taking a shot at BYU's religion and their beliefs in certain topics that are very
games last year with Oregon and Stanford.
Right, Oregon, Stanford, and USC in 2021.
Yep.
So hopefully that comes to an end, and hopefully there's a lot of unity on that front where we're seeing these student bodies show respect, kind of like what the WCC did where Gonzaga said, hey, don't dress like missionaries. Done. Never happens again. Hopefully there's a little bit of respect for that. And hopefully there's not this treatment of BYU like in decades past where they got treated like this awful program, because BYU always tries to be a helpful product or helpful partner in anything that they do.
Well, the Big 12's got to handle that, because I
they do.
I don't think it's fair to assume, now that everyone are friends again in the conference, that that's going to go away. I think that will continue between Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, and BYU, and Colorado, quite frankly. I think it will. So, Brett Yormark in this conference, to a point you made earlier, get them in line.
Yeah.
They gotta follow suit, because the Big 12, and make no mistake, Utah, more so than the other schools, played their way in with great football. I totally get that. But the Big 12 threw them a lifeline. and they need there's it needs to be reciprocated from those schools coming to the Big 12 that we're going to do things the right way, all of us, because if you don't, we just saw what can happen in the Pac-12. Big 12 is not they're not earthquake proof from this thing blowing up down the road, and so they got to protect it going forward.
Let's take a break. Let's get to, again, we teased it a little bit earlier, thoughts on maybe the future Big 12 schedule could look like.
Oh, yeah.
How do you want it structured? Do you want divisions? Do you want 8 games, 10 games? How do you want it? Let's discuss that next. So, again, keep texting us, 57500. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports. Welcome back in. Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. Conference realignment. You know what, Matt? From now on, I will always get my news for conference realignment, not from national reporters, not even from myself. It's going to come from mascots. July 28th. And I remember our producer, Nate Slack, brought this up in our group text. Brutus the Buckeye, the Ohio State Buckeye mascot, he posted on Instagram on July 28th a picture with him and the Oregon Duck inside Autzen Stadium. And the caption read, "Big," capital B-I-G, that's the logo of the Big Ten, "Big things coming," eyeball emoji. He told us back on July 28th, the Buckeye, Brutus. So if Cosmo, I'm going to study every dance move he does now. Because
like
it might
that.
Be subliminal messaging about expansion. It might be some between-the-lines message like, hey, UConn's coming. So if he does a dance with the dog this fall, that means UConn's coming. I'm just kidding. But it's just funny how that came out. Like, is that really what
fascinating.
Brutus meant? Like, he knew the mascot?
It probably was a non-conference matchup, return visit.
I don't think so.
I think they were leaking it then?
What if? Maybe. Because no one takes a mascot serious. Put some respect on that mascot's name. They're
wow.
People too.
So I'm gonna throw a hot take your way. I think this is gonna make you erupt. So I'm not 100% confident that BYU Utah is gonna play every year in November.
Oh.
In football.
You think so? What, you're saying Utah, Colorado?
I'm saying, and this might be unfair because this team is leaving the conference, but I just took a mental note of Bedlam not being the last game of the year. That scheduling group was under Brett Yormark. That schedule did not happen prior to Brett Yormark. That's his regime. How in the world was Bedlam, the final Bedlam, not the last game of the year?
Texas State Fair. It's always been a tradition. Or you're talking Oklahoma State.
I'm talking Oklahoma State.
Sorry.
The Red River Shootout has never been at the end of the year.
Red River Rivalry.
Yeah. You're right.
Be careful.
I mean, it probably was a shootout once upon a time.
It used to be, but that got canceled.
I don't know. Maybe it was because Oklahoma's leaving, we don't give a rip, but I'm just like,
that's a good point.
Why are we not putting this at the end of the year? So now, with that being said, Brett Yormark is not dumb. In fact, he's very smart. Look what he's done. That will probably be the premier final game of the year. But it's hard to know what the schedule is going to be like because there were no protected games this year. It was completely random.
Well, and that was addressed. They did say this was just going to be
a one-off
schedule with Texas and Oklahoma. We tried to factor in some things, but there was no real rhyme or reason. So next year, we could see a situation where BYU goes to Kansas again. It's just completely, this is an isolated year. This has no impact on what next year's schedule is, and they've kind of acknowledged that. And I think they wanted also maybe establish a potential opportunity for Oklahoma State to have something, not necessarily with BYU at the end of the year, but you just say, like, you know what? We're not going to put Oklahoma on this pedestal. You know, I just think there was some nuance there to where they didn't want to, like, showcase Bedlam. Like, it's the greatest rivalry ever. And then, obviously, it's gone. And as someone at Big 12 Media Day said, well, Bedlam's been laid to rest.
Hey, Coach Venables, I just saw one of your players last night. Had lunch with him. Let's go back to the old days of college football. It's a dark day. We need people like that voting for our national champion again.
I want to be. I want to be clear. I want it at the end of the year.
It's gonna be.
I think that it will be, but I'm not 100% confident that it will.
How many games? Big 12 schedule. Should they stay at 9?
Stay
they go
at
to
9.
Eight? Like the SEC? SEC's doing 8.
Okay, well, the SEC wanted to go to 9, but ESPN told them, we won't pay you any more money. So they said, okay, then we're not going to do it.
Sure.
So, and that's also a clue to future expansion, that these networks are not just going to keep paying out the bum. So
that's the SEC.
Yeah, and right. That's not the Big 12. That's the SEC that ESPN said no to. Think about that. I don't hate what we're doing this year, and I thought there was a good nugget, too, in Pete Thamel's article yesterday. What happens to the Big Ten schedule? Well, Big Ten Chief Operating Officer Kerry Kenny told ESPN, look, the more protected matchups you have, the less flexibility you have to create a balanced schedule. That is a quote from the Big Ten COO on ESPN.com. So I like the randomized, and what I would like to see is every team gets one protected game that you play every year, and that is it. Everything else rotates. I'm not down for pods. I do not want to play Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah every year. I don't. I want to be mixing it up every single year. BYU says, we want Utah. I don't know what Utah would say. They'd probably say BYU, but who knows? And
President Taylor Randall did say in his statement yesterday, he's excited to re-engage with the rivalry with Brigham Young University. So,
but he doesn't specify every single year either. Sure. So, but anyways, that's what I want. I want 9 games. Look, in a perfect world, the Power Four elevate to a new league, and all games are amongst the conferences. And there isn't this who we're doing 8, we're doing 9, we're doing 10. What are we doing? But for right now, I like 9 with one protected game.
I think they go to 10 eventually. Maybe not next year.
They won't get more money, though. So do you do it?
I think you do it because
throw a bone to the TV networks?
Well, I think that's what the SEC is going to do when they eventually do change up that 8-game schedule. You can't stay at 8 if you're the SEC, and I think they're going to go to 10. And you know what? I just feel like non-conference games are maybe dying a little bit. That's an element, too, that we forget here. We've talked about it privately in text, but you know that is maybe one of the nice things about Utah coming into the league. They were scheduled from 24 to 2030. And now you have some openings in the non-conference. I would love for Tom Holmoe to pick up the phone and say, hey, Miami, come back on the schedule, please, because I wanted that home and home. But I think you go to 10. I just think that's the direction we're going to, where and you're going to play 12 Power 5 football games. That's my opinion. I don't know for sure.
Yep.
I know people like Jimbo Fisher have been very vocal about the importance of having the FCS game because the football ecosystem, that FCS program, like Southern Utah, relies on that paycheck from BYU.
Yep.
And that's going to maybe cover a lot of their sports. And if that's gone, what do they do? That's a tough conversation. So maybe for the short term it's 9, but I think eventually it's going to 10. And I just think, and I personally want to see BYU play a lot of games against these teams. I don't want to see like the SEC where Alabama and Georgia don't play in the regular season for 15 years. How does that happen? You're in a league.
Yep. Agreed. All right, let's take the break, news, traffic, weather, and then the top 5. We're going to keep doing that on the other side.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete. Another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for 3.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Brought to you by Any Hour Services Electrical Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday. And for the past couple of weeks, it's felt like conference realignment Saturday here.
Jeez.
We were at camp, the first two opportunities the media had to see camp, and we'll discuss that after the top 5. So we got some interviews, we got some observations. If you don't follow us on the socials, you've already missed some opportunities. We put up a
a video after every practice recapping what we saw and some thoughts. You can follow Mitch underscore Harper, by Amante Matt, KSL Sports. We'll get all that juicy info on the socials as it happens. But the juiciest part of the show, even amidst conference realignment, it's always at 1:30 here on KSL News Radio.
The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. Here's the Top 5.
That's right. It's the Top 5. Today brought to you by Any Hour Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Cougar Sports Saturday brought to you by them. We bring in producer Nate Slack. You can follow Nate on Twitter at NateSlack5. Yeah, we're promoting the Twitter again. Threads is dead on arrival. We like Threads, but...
Do we?
It's not as good.
I haven't jumped on board yet.
I tried for like an hour. Yeah.
I don't like X, though. That rebrand.
I'm liking X.
You like the rebrand?
I'm digging that. I like that. I don't know why. I just like new, Matt. I like chaos. I like realignment. I like chaos. Nate, how are you doing? What do you think? Quick thoughts. Your thoughts on this expansion stuff. Your hot take.
It's fun. I'm going to like playing Utah. I think we are going to play Utah the last game of the season each year, which is fun because that's what I grew up with. But I also wanted to see them
suffer
and go down in the Mountain West. It's going to be fun, though. I'm really looking forward to going back to Arizona State, because that's where I lived for a year.
I don't want to go there very often, as I made clear in the previous segment.
It was fine in 2018.
I don't care.
I had a good time.
It was fine. Like, I don't want to be stuck playing. We just got out of that, playing the same people over and over. You want to do that again?
Absolutely.
He wants the old college football back, Mitch. He's the opposite of you. You want new. You want change.
Yep.
Nate just wants to go back to the old days.
You got a new list for us today?
I do, yeah. So we're going to be sticking with the Power 5 theme. BYU is only one of 8 Power 5 schools that don't have a state or city in their name. I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter earlier this week. So if you did, it's a little bit of a tip for you. But today's top 5, you guys have to identify 5 of the remaining 7 Power 5 schools that don't have a city or state in their team name.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Simple. Any questions?
No. Who starts it?
Mitch, you're starting it.
Let's go with Stanford.
That's Stanford is one of the 7. I was tricked on that one because I've seen like on Google Maps it says Stanford, California, but it's Palo Alto.
Yeah, Palo Alto, the farm.
Yeah.
Up to me?
Up to Matt.
Vanderbilt.
Okay, 2 for 2. I think we're going to get a little tougher going forward.
That's a hospital, right?
I think it is.
I think that's a hospital, yeah. Vanderbilt Hospital.
I've been to that stadium. I went to Nashville once. It was after the 2011 Ole Miss game. I was doing a little bit of an SEC tour. Not that great. They got the weirdest basketball gym, too. It's that one that has the weird sight lines. Vanderbilt's just a weird school, and they make tons of money now because they're in the SEC.
They got baseball. Mitch, back to you.
Let's go with who's in the Big Ten. Northwestern.
Okay, we're cruising down this list. You're going to tie it up at 2, Matt?
Baylor.
Oh, this is fun. All right, well, it'll be a better list next week. Let's see let's see who can get number 3, Mitch.
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest is not. That used to be a city, and I learned this last week that Wake Forest used to be located in Wake Forest, and then they moved about an hour away.
Aren't they in Winston-Salem?
Yeah, they moved about an hour away. So an hour away is where their campus originally was, in Wake Forest.
Huh.
So,
okay.
More now.
Are there – how many teams were there on the list again?
There's 8 total, including BYU, but I took them out, so there are still 3 remaining.
There's 3 left? My goodness. Let's go with – holy smokes, this is getting tough all of a sudden. So it's 2-2.
2-2, and it's first 1-4.
Wow, we're already to that point?
Yeah. So
if you can't tell, I'm stalling here. Let's go with – gosh, why is this – I don't feel good about this, but TCU. Texas.
Yeah. State.
Let's see. Trying to think here. Which schools do we already have on the board?
We've got Baylor, Northwestern, Stanford, and Vanderbilt.
Okay. How about, gosh, who am I missing here? Jeez. Pass. Just go to Matt.
Rutgers.
Mm. Yep, there you go. You got it. There you go. That's a good one.
Was Clemson on this list? That was my other guess.
No, they're in Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, that's what I thought. A city, right?
Yep.
Rutgers.
What's the rest of the list?
Wait, there's two more.
Yeah, there's two more. Do you want to keep going? Because we're at, right now it's...
Give me a hint on the league. The leagues.
There's two left. There's one ACC and one Big Ten.
Big Ten.
Man, that Purdue.
Yeah.
Purdue's one.
So ACC has another one?
Yeah. They only have, they only have
Duke.
One. Yeah, Duke.
Yeah, wow.
Duke. Should have known Duke.
I know.
Should have known Duke. Yeah, for some reason, Purdue just popped in my head because I always draw comparisons like, who wants to watch Purdue in a Big Ten?
What I'd like to know is, what's the connection to the name? Because I don't even know. Why Duke?
Hmm.
Vanderbilt, I'm pretty sure it's a hospital. Stanford, I don't know. Was that a human,
Wasn't that the name of the farm that Stanford's on, or Stanford's at? It's on a farm. I think it was called the Stanford Farm, I believe. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Okay. Duke, I have no clue. Purdue, no clue. Rutgers, no idea.
They created college football or something, and it was a Rutger-like day. I don't know. That's a cool list, though. BYU, I never thought of it in that terms, because you look at the rest of the Big 12, they're state schools. We're not state schools. There's a few private. I mean, TCU is private, but they're more of a secular university now. I mean, they're Christian, but they're not. I mean, I think they serve alcohol at games, whereas BYU and Baylor, they pray before a game. And, you know, that was kind of one of the interesting things about going to the BYU-Baylor game in 2021 was they had a prayer. I was like, whoa, I've never seen this outside of a BYU game. So BYU fits in quite well with Baylor and this new Big 12 conference. But good list, Nate. That's a never thought of things like that before. That's good.
No, that's very interesting. Here's an interesting thought of something you probably haven't thought of and the listeners haven't thought of. Coming back to realignment for a minute, I said this earlier and I believe it. One of the biggest winners, BYU is a mild winner, but there are some cons to what happened with the Big 12 adding Utah, ASU, and Arizona.
What's the cons, you think?
Well, I just feel like there could have been an advantage, especially if the Pac-12 had added SDSU and some others, that you would maybe have a better league. Probably had a better league on the recruiting trail. It would be an easier sell. Now, what's the differentiating factor on the recruiting trail between BYU and Utah? The religion, and that's it?
I would say BYU's got some differences from NIL, better NIL opportunities.
I don't think
Utah's NIL space is as good as BYU. I'd have to check more. I mean, that's going to be fun for us now. We're going to keep a better pulse of Utah now.
Yep.
I mean, I've kind of been a little bit – I always kind of follow them because they're in the state, but at the same time, not as in-depth as I used to. But I would expect BYU's NIL is a little bit better. I think also BYU, they've got quite the following too. And I think
a great
that,
following. But that, does that matter in recruiting that
I
much?
Think it does because – and I say this because I think – how many times have we seen BYU add some – three-star guy, and he's like a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, BYU made Jamal Williams a celebrity.
Yep, Cody Epps.
You know, they celebritize these non-five-star guys, where you go to most programs, it's like you're just a dude.
Yep.
Like, you're not going to like the store, and you're like some celebrity. BYU, you're like a celebrity. Now, some people don't want that, but it's good in this era because brands, NIL, that can turn into money. You're seeing Cody Epps now on billboards at Mountain America, and he's only started 5 games in his BYU career. BYU has an ability to celebritize players, whereas I don't think Utah's as good in that front unless you're a successful quarterback or running back, a high-profile position.
Yeah.
BYU can turn you into a celebrity.
I don't disagree. I just think it would have been an easier and more convincing sell if Utah was in a weakened Pac-12
than where
they are now.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think Utah still got some advantages when it comes to
facilities,
coaching staff. I mean, Utah's been doing it for 20 years now with Witt.
Yep.
I mean, he's been there since 1995 on the defensive side.
He's one of the top 5 most tenured coaches.
I wonder what's going to happen with him. You know, does he look at this and go, I don't want this challenge? Or is he motivated for the 12-team playoff? Does he hang it up after this year? I don't know.
I think it does depend a little bit on what happens this year. Like, if let's say they win the Pac-12 in its final year, I mean, it'll never get as good as that. Right off into the sunset with that. That's what I would tell.
Three-peat, end it, get the final title in the league.
Yeah.
Is there any way you think that the Pac-12 survives and they backfill with Mountain West teams?
No, because the Pac teams could go to the Mountain West for nothing. The Mountain West teams coming to the Pac would cost money.
$34 million, yeah.
Yep. Anyways.
It's over for those teams.
Back to the interesting fact, though, that I wanted to get to. So the biggest winner, I think, in all of this is the state of Utah. They will now have two Power 5 teams. There's not a lot of states in America that have two Power 5 teams. California only has two. Now that Stanford and Cal are, I think, look, right now you would still consider them power, but not really, right?
Oregon's after this year, it's going to be gone.
Oregon's got one. Idaho's got none. Colorado's got one. Arizona's got two.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the neighboring states to Utah do not have the quality of football at the highest stage as Utah does. Washington doesn't.
I think the state of Utah in general is becoming a football hotbed. Yep. I mean, even Utah State, you know, they play some good football.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 2 years ago, they were a nationally ranked team. I mean, and the high schools in this state, too, they're investing in football. You're seeing a decrease in participation out in California. You know, Western football, I think it's great that BYU is in a league where the hub is in Texas.
Yep.
There's reach in Ohio. There's reach in Florida. Football recruiting hotbeds where you can go tell a recruit. Yesterday they get a commitment from a guy in Georgia, Therrien Alexander III. Hey, we're going to be in the Southeast. We're going to play there. Your family's going to be able to see you close in Florida. And I just think it's good to have a presence in the football hotbeds because the West football is, I don't know if dying is the right word, but participation from the younger generation, the numbers are decreasing. Whereas in Utah, there's a heightened commitment to football in the state.
Yeah, the state of Utah has never been in a better position for football. This is going to be one of the premier states in the western part of the country.
And we're a great sports market.
Yep.
I mean, Ryan Smith, they're trying to get pro teams. This is an awesome sports market where people care about sports. And I think it's going to get heightened with BYU and Utah back in the same league.
All right, got to take a break. Let's get to some fall camp on the other side. What do we talk about, Mitch? We're in the beautiful position of having just too much to discuss. We could have gone till 6 today. Old CSS. Scheduling. Fall camp is underway. Let's get to fall camp on the next one. Because we're getting some texts.
This is history.
Yep.
We can give you Camp Kalani takes and
next week.
Will. And we believe me, we'll have some podcast stuff, but this is history.
Yep.
We will always look back at this time and go, where were you on August 4th, 2023? This is the type of stuff.
Tell your story from camp yesterday.
So it was surreal going to practice yesterday because moments before I walked into the student athlete building, Oregon and Washington, the reports came out that they're going to the Big Ten. And all the media, of course, were gathered in Legacy Hall waiting to go watch practice. And while these reports are dropping, BYU's just going through drills and you're hearing music, many men. Many men.
My favorite. Period 18. Red
period
zone.
Period 24.
Situational work.
They're just going through their work. They're going through their drills. And, you know, Kalani's, there's some general media. I'm waiting for an interview with Zay Banya. And Kalani just comes up, says hi. You know, just, you know, kind of just chatting, just a little small talk. And I'm just thinking to myself, Kalani has no idea that Oregon and Washington are in the Big Ten. No idea.
Business as usual.
I thought to myself, I really should have brought that up to him and seen his reaction because he had no idea. I mean, how would anyone? Like, they're just engaged in
practice. At the same time, I see Jay Hill off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to film our recap. he's hugging his wife, hugging his kids, having good. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, family's here. It's all good. Meanwhile, college football's exploding.
It's like Dumb and Dumber. Our pants, our heads are falling off.
There's no loyalty. There's no rivalries.
We got no food.
Our pants are falling off.
Hey, that was filmed here in Utah, wasn't it?
Parts of it was, yeah.
It was just right here. That was the building right across the street from Vivint or from Delta Center.
Some of it there.
With the orange and blue
at
suit.
Sundance when he has the dream and they're up in the that part's ridiculous.
Maybe realignment should be called that. Dumb and Dumber. Just all dumb. it's all dumb.
It's a sequel.
What are we chasing, huh? TV money, baby. Media rights money.
Yeah, that's
remember the days when we would watch BYU and just, hey, it's randomly a Thursday night ESPN game. We had no context as kids that this was some backdoor media rights. BYU was making $1.5 million in the Mountain West with the Mountain. Now they're going to make $31.7 million. It's just...
it's unbelievable.
But again, it shows all these moves happen. The money keeps climbing.
It's stopped. The money, it's the end of the road.
I think with the 12-team playoff, there's going to be a little bit more.
Well, there will be in that. I'm just talking about TV deals to conferences. I think we reached the peak. Here's a good text. Yeah. I want quick thoughts here. We got a minute. First phone calls to get back on the schedule should go to who? This texter says, and look, this is because Arizona and BYU are now in the mm-hmm. league, so you don't play those non-conference games. This texter says, Boise State and Utah State, where are your phone calls going to fill the spots?
No, not Boise State or Utah State. I'm going to go to, I'd go to, honestly, Stanford.
Heck no.
Why not?
Are you kidding me? After that halftime show? No way.
I'll do a 2-for-1 with Stanford.
I would hit up Oregon State and Washington.
No, I'd go 2-for-1. I'd say 2-for-1.
2-for-1 with Stanford. No.
Do it.
No Bay Area schools. I'd much rather play Boise State again. Throw them a bone. They were very cordial and good with BYU.
Okay.
I'm good with Boise State, not Stanford. Come on.
It's an easy win, though. They're in the dumps.
Will you ever see another LDS kid go to Stanford?
Yeah, probably, because their parents will... look at
how
education.
Could you send a Division I athlete to Stanford?
I don't. Beats me. I mean, but the thing is, you do get to that campus, you go, wow, this place is pretty cool.
It's amazing. It's cool.
It's amazing. You get it when you see it. Then you go to the stadium, you go, oh, there's no life. There's no one here. There's more BYU fans.
I have a good Stanford story I need to tell you on the other side, okay?
All right, let's do that.
We'll take the break. News, traffic, and weather. More realignment and BYU football talk next.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.